Hello and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. And today's show is going to be about people. So if you're concerned about someone in your family, you, a spouse, a parent, a grandparent, all the kinds of things that happen to us as we get older, as we become more frail, then I hope you'll spend as much time as you can in the next hour listening to what we talk about, what I talk about. Every day, my life is made up of talking to people who at some level are suffering as a result of somebody that they love, somebody that they care about, beginning to fail. It could be mental, it could be physical, it could be both, it could be all kinds of things. But as this person in their family, whoever it is, begins to fade, their life is turned upside down. It is harder than anyone can imagine. If you have never taken care of someone who can't think, who can't walk, who can't bathe themselves, who can't manage their own meds and their own personal hygiene, then you need to listen for the next hour or so, half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever you can listen. And if you can't listen to the whole show, you can go to my website and listen, and I'll give you that information here in a second. Good morning. I'm your host here for 18 years on KFBK, Bob Scrivano. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. I do help people through very difficult situations. I'm not a CPA. I have a California insurance license. I have had for a lot of years, and I'm proud of it because there's some really interesting stuff out there now when it comes to long-term care. That's not what this show is about, but if you want more information, I just had a client. How many of you are getting 0.5% on your CD? I just had a client renew a product at 2.8% interest, guaranteed for the next couple years. Most of you are not getting 2.8% interest, but that's a subject for another day. I have a legal document assistant license, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction. Recorded in Sacramento County. The bond is recorded in Sacramento County and the license is issued in Sacramento County, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your request. I'm a notary. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be because I can tell you the truth. I don't know what else. There's probably a whole bunch of other stuff. And I cannot lube your car. I don't have the equipment. Probably 7 or 8 other things I didn't say, but you get the picture. Everything I do talk about here is my opinion only and should never be taken as any form of legal, tax, or other advice other than I'm quite often right. Okay, I want to tell you a little. Let me give you some contact information. You can get a hold of me in several different ways. One is just to call me. My phone number here in Sacramento and across the known universe is 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. You can also get a hold of me, and if you call, I'm quite often not in, by the way, so leave a message. You can also get a hold of me by going to my website. My website, and write it down. By the way, you should almost always listen to this show with a pencil and paper. I mean, I'm not going to get to all of it today, but sitting on top of the printer next to where I'm doing this show is 3 inches worth of articles and stuff that I've just pulled in the last couple weeks dealing with long-term care issues. My website, Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, Aging, aging.com, assets and aging.com. And you can go there and do lots of things. One, you can listen to my archived radio shows and podcasts. Every Wednesday, I do a podcast at noon. Every Sunday, I do a radio show. Both of those are then put up on my webpage. And you can listen to them. You can sit there and listen to them at your leisure. You can get information. You can sign up on my website for one of my upcoming workshops. I have one every month. I will also come and do a workshop for your group or organization for free. I recently did one for an investment club down in Elk Grove and had a great time. I mean, just had a great time with a bunch of people. We had a full house. In fact, we had more than a full house. And it was free. So if you have a group or organization and you're looking for a speaker, I will come and speak to your group or organization for free on the subjects of aging. You can also send me an email. You can ask me a question there. My phone number is on my website in case you forget. And again, you can sign up for an upcoming workshop, and my workshops are like nothing you have ever been to. They're not like anything you've ever been to. I don't even take registration, folks. We talk about what's important to you. I answer questions that are important to you when it comes to long-term care planning. You can also come in and see me. If you're dealing with somebody now and you need help, the consultation is free. I know there are lots of other people doing this, but you are now listening to the original. I've been doing this longer than anybody in Sacramento. This radio program has been talking about senior issues longer than anybody in California. It is now California's single best source for information on the issues of aging. And one of the cool things is, after 30 years of doing this, I have aligned myself, with people who, if I don't know the answers to questions, do. I know the best elder law attorneys, I know the best Medicare people, I know the best Social Security people, I know the best long-term care people, insurance people, I know the best nursing homes, I know the best assisted living, I know the best placement agencies, I know the best people to handle VA benefits, I know all of that stuff. So if you're looking for someone who has been doing this a long time, call me or go to my website, Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, Aging, A-G-I-N-G, and there's more information there than you'll ever want. Okay, so this week I'm sitting in my office, and I'm going to tell you a story, because my life is made up of stories. All of my clients, all of the people that come and see me, have a story. And they all have one thing in common. Their stories are all the same and always different. It's the same general issues, but played out in their family. So if you think you have all the answers, you're incorrect. You're incorrect. You do not have all the answers. No one has all the answers. There is no the answer. Everyone is different. So I had somebody, I'm sitting there in my office the other day, and the door is open just so I can get some fresh air into my office. You know, I've been in the same office building now for 15 years. Or something like that. It's a long time, folks. And a gentleman walks in. I'm not going to tell you who, but a gentleman walks in, and we just start talking. I've known him for a long time. And we just start talking. And he begins to talk to me about his family. And his mom and his dad in particular, are beginning to fail. And if this fits your family, listen, if it doesn't, it will be close to what's going on in your family somewhere. What I am talking about happens millions and millions of times a day in the United States. It happens millions of times a day in California. It happens hundreds of thousands of times a day in Sacramento. And you all know somebody that I'm going to tell you a story, and you're going to understand it. And anyhow, we start talking, and his dad is beginning to fail. His dad is beginning to develop dementia, and he can't figure out, they don't know whether it's Alzheimer's or dementia, and at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. There are, depending on what scale you look at, there are 8 to 10 different kinds of dementia. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It's not curable, other than dementia associated with a urinary tract infection, by the way, which is very common. Other than that, it's not curable. So it doesn't matter what we call it. It doesn't matter if we call it dementia or Alzheimer's. It doesn't matter. But Dad is beginning to fail. And of course, they have noticed that his life events have happened. Dad's dementia has accelerated. One of his close relatives died, and the dementia accelerated. Dad has now begun to show violent tendencies. He is threatening his spouse. And as want, the family is scattered all over the country. There's one family member that lives close to Dad and Mom, but the rest of them are scattered all over the country. Now, they're trying to figure out what to do. And here's one of the realities. They're not all on the same page. Because the 900, and he and I had a long discussion about the 900-pound gorilla. Because the 900-pound gorilla in the room is guilt, and every family member feels it. The mom feels it, all the children feel it, they feel it in different ways. Some of them are able to handle the guilt, understanding that this is a disease like any other disease. Even though we don't treat brain diseases the same, if you have cancer, everybody goes, aw. If you have a brain disease, everybody recoils, because we don't know how to deal with that. And that person we used to deal with isn't there anymore. You can have cancer and that person's brain is still working and you can still have a conversation. You have somebody with dementia, you can't talk to them. They don't make sense. They're nonsensical. So the family, of course, some of them are on one side, some of them are on the other side. Some of them want mom and dad to move to assisted living. Some of them want mom and dad to stay at home. None of them are willing to move in. In fact, some of them have actually rejected the fact that dad comes to live with them. They've left the burden on mom, who's 80-some years old. How many of you have heard this story before? I've heard it thousands and thousands of times, and I will, God willing, and the creek don't rise, I'm going to hear it a lot more before I give up and die. Now, one of the things they're confronted with is if they move to assisted living, they can't afford it. Mom and dad can't afford it. Assisted living, they're looking at assisted living that are just under $7,000 a month. And mom and dad don't have much in assets they don't have anything and can't afford $7,000 a month. So the family is all looking at, we're going to all have to chip in, and how are we going to pay for this? How much of this story have you heard before? So they're all in conflict. They're all trying to figure out what to do. They're all planning on getting on an airplane soon and going back as a family and meeting, but they don't have a plan for meeting. They don't have a plan. And they have to have a plan. They have to have a plan. What's the plan? Well, we're going to get together and we're going to figure this out. But what's the plan? What do you have an outline? Do you have, you know, one of the things I've had for years is a sample agenda for a family conference. And one of the reasons I have that is it gives people when they're confronted with this, some place to begin. So how are they going to pay for it? Well, as we were sitting there and talking, I said, was your dad a vet? Yeah, he was a vet. He was in, I forget if it was Korea or World War II. I don't remember which one. But he met the basic requirements. And I said, well, has anybody talked to you about veterans benefits? If your mom and dad both go to assisted living and they both need some help, it could be over $2,000 a month tax-free. And he said, you're kidding me. He said, my brother went to the VA and they said he couldn't get any medical benefits. And I said, different benefit. So I gave him the name of the benefit, aid in attendance. We talked a little bit, and I referred him to somebody who could help him. Now, federal aid in attendance, that VA benefit is federal. In theory, he could apply in California. He could take care of everything here, even though his parents live in another state. But I suggested they find, and I told him how to find somebody back there, because one of the siblings lives back there and has access to mom and dad and to their financial records and that kind of stuff. He didn't know it existed. And then we talked about things that he's never thought about before. You know, dad is making threats to mom, physical threats, because he has dementia. Well, what happens if he acts on those threats? What's your plan? Well, we never thought about that. If we have to separate mom and dad, now you've doubled the cost. Because mom and dad may not be able to stay in the same apartment in assisted living. What if dad acts out when he gets to assisted living because he doesn't want to be there? Well, we never thought about that. Well, you need to think about that. Anytime you move... Pardon me, I have a morning voice. Anytime you move someone with dementia, quite often there's a certain amount of transfer trauma. And that transfer trauma can manifest itself as more acting out or more depression or whatever. And then I asked him, I said, is your mom depressed? Well, yeah. I said, where's everybody's focus? And he said, I don't understand what you mean. And I said, where's everybody's focus? And he said, well, you know, it's dad. And I said, your focus needs to be on mom. And he looked at me and said, I don't get it. I said, you can't help your dad. Your dad's going to get worse and worse and worse. The only person here that you can really make a difference in their life is your mom, because you just told me that this is killing your mom. That her health is deteriorating, she's depressed, she's afraid because dad has threatened her. Do you understand that you have to get involved in your mom's life? And then I said something that I've been telling my clients for 25 years. You have to determine who now is the responsible adult. Because it's not mom and it's not dad anymore. And the kids are going to have to get together, and even though it's not normal and it's not natural, you are going to have to take over the decision-making process for your mom and your dad, because your dad, who has dementia, is certainly not capable of making intelligent decisions, and your mom can't. She's not able to make the kinds of decisions that need to be made here. So tag, you're it. And the kids have to determine among themselves what their plan is, what their course of attack of all of this is, how they're going to pay for it, how they're going to do all of this, how they're going to make the transfer. Pardon me, I got to take a little drink of water because I have a morning mouth here. Excuse me, live radio. And so, and I don't edit my show, folks. I record it. I sit down and record it. And what I say is what you get. No script. So all of a sudden, this family has been thrown into turmoil. And when we talked, this has been going on for a long time. They began to notice dad's decline a long time ago. A long time ago. They just kind of ignored it and hoped it would go away, which is what lots of people hope. I said, is your mom on any treatment for depression? No. Have you talked to her family doctor? No. Do your mom have powers of attorney or trusts or any of that stuff in place? I think so. How many of you right now, or your families, are facing a similar situation? How many of you? I don't know the answer to the question in your life, but how many of you are facing this circumstance? And maybe the form varies a little bit. Maybe the details vary a little bit. But how many of you are dealing with a family member, a loved one, a parent, a grandparent, a spouse, a loved one who is beginning to fail? And you're all looking at it, and the secret hope is it'll all just be okay. Somehow it will all work out. Somehow it will just all work out. Don't know how. It'll all work out. That's not a plan, and that won't work, and that's going to lead to untold misery and heartache and depression and division in families and all those kinds of things because nobody wants to talk about it. Parents, you're as much to blame as your children are because parents, you've said your whole life, I don't want to be a burden on my children. But you're perfectly willing to burden them with this decision without having any tools when it happens to you or your spouse. And children, you're to blame because you refuse to get involved in your parents' life and say to them, Mom, Dad, you know, Daddy's failing a little bit. Mom, we need to be able to help you. We need to, you know, you have to get involved. You're going to be the one. I remember going on somebody's radio show once, and they really didn't want me to come on the radio show because radio is geared to 19 to 49-year-olds. And they said, you know, I don't want a bunch of 80-year-old people listening to the show. And I said, okay. And they finally said, okay, come on on. You can come on, and we'll do the show. And I said, okay. So I did the show, and we did the first 10 minutes. And when I was done during the commercial break, the call screener came out of their booth. It's a soundproof booth where the call screener sits and said, I need to talk to you right after the show because I'm taking care of my grandma and I don't know what to do. And I looked at the host and I said, see, I'm not dealing with 90-year-olds or 80-year-olds. I'm dealing with their kids and grandkids. So kids and grandkids, when are you going to be willing to get involved and make sure that you have a plan for dealing with mom or dad or grammy or grampy? Spouses, I'm 71 years old. My spouse will be 70 this year. We're starting to get older. Our friends are all getting older. Our friends are all becoming more frail. I can observe it. Some of them are in denial about it, but they are. So what are you going to do in your life or in your family's life to make sure that when this happens to you, you not only have the answers, you prepared the answers years in advance? 800-999-8007. Get to a workshop. Get in to see me. The appointment is free. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Get me a question, sign up for an appointment, but don't become the victim of circumstance. We're all going to get old. We're all going to get more frail. You're going to get old. You're going to become more frail. Your beloved parents are going to get old. They're going to become more frail. Are you just going to be another story in which circumstance rules and fate rules? Or are you going to be a family that has thought this through, has planned for it, has dealt with it, and has had open conversations? Let the conversations begin here. I hold family conferences all the time. I love it. I love the kids to be involved. If you're facing this now, quit waiting. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or go to my website, assetsandaging.com, where you can sign up for a workshop. You can sign up for an appointment. You can send me a question. You can get in touch. And you can begin the process of making sure that your family is not another one of the victims that walks into my office going, this just happened, what do we do now? 800-999-8007. Call during the break. Leave me a message with your phone number and I'll call you back. Get involved, get to a workshop, make sure you have a plan for your family. I'll be back right after the break. Take a little break here. I'll be back. More to talk about on assets and aging. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. 800-999-8007 if you want to get a hold of me, or my website, assetsandaging.com. I want to read you part of a, you know, again, I have this gigantic stack of things. And every week, I don't even know where to begin sometimes when I start the show. And I was actually going to go someplace else, and I found this article that I've been meaning to read for a while, and I'm going to read it. Okay? I also want to read you some stuff from one of my upcoming book here. I've wanted this book to be different than most books. Most books are practical books and talk about the rules of Medi-Cal. I wanted to tell stories. And we're almost done, and I was going to read you something from that this morning, but I decided to read this. This is the Wall Street Journal, and I don't get paid for this, folks, but the Wall Street Journal is the only newspaper in America pardon me, that on a regular basis deals with the issues of aging. They're it. There's nobody else doing this. And this is from the Wednesday, September 7th edition of the Wall Street Journal. It's on page D as in dog 3. And it's called Finishing the Work of a Mother with Alzheimer's. And it's about a woman. I'm not going to read the whole article. It's a better part of a page long. You can hear me rustling the page here in front of me. It's the better part of a page long. But it's about a woman who found a manuscript. Her mother had dementia, and the daughter found this manuscript. And the mother had been a civil rights activist during the South, during the, you know, all the upheaval in the 60s. And the daughter found the book, or the manuscript, and she finished the book because her mother couldn't finish the book because she had Alzheimer's. And I want to read you. I don't want to read you the stuff about the book. You can go read the article. It's a great article. Okay. Again, Wall Street Journal, Wednesday, September 7th, 2016. One of the reasons I subscribe to the Journal is because of this stuff, because it's the only newspaper in America that on a regular basis covers senior issues. I mean, real senior issues. Most newspapers and outlets cover senior issues dealing with a 90-year-old who skydives. That's not a senior issue. Okay, now, so I want to read you something from this article, okay? In completing the self-published memoir, she says she came to be more fully appreciate her mother's achievements as well as her insecurities. Here's what I want to read to you. An estimated 5.4 million Americans, one in nine people. Now, if I told you that one of nine of you was going to develop terminal cancer from the age of 65, you'd all be in getting checks at the doctor. That is a huge statistic. Now, but listen to the statistic. One in nine people age 65 and over have Alzheimer's. Not are going to develop it, have it. Now, that's one of only 8 to 10 different kinds of dementia. It's the most common kind. But stop and think about that. 1 in 9 people over age 65 have Alzheimer's. Not are going to have it, have it. That means 1 in 9 people in Sacramento over the age of 65 have Alzheimer's. Do you understand that? Do you understand that the planning for that? Everybody goes to their stockbroker and they want to see how much money they can make. I'm telling you, you better be worried about preserving it, because you're going to take care of somebody with Alzheimer's or dementia. Financial plans, and this is my own opinion, folks, I'm not a stockbroker, need to change when you get older. They're no longer about how much money can I make, it's how much money can I preserve, because it's going to take care of me or my spouse when we go goofy. Yes, I know I use that word. I use it for to lighten people up about this and talk about it seriously. 1 in 9 people age 65 or older have Alzheimer's. As it progresses, it destroys memory and other brain functions. Those people who have been around Alzheimer's know that. Families are left with unfinished business that can involve finances, relationships, or projects. Meryl Comer said her husband, a scientist who was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's, didn't pay taxes for 4 years. It wasn't that he deliberately ignored them. It's the disease that creeps over them. They lose control, said Mrs. Comer, author of a book called Slow Dancing with a Stranger, a book about the couple's 20-year battle with Alzheimer's. I'm reading from the article. Alzheimer's symptoms can start 2 years before an official diagnosis. It's been known to take 8 years before actual diagnosis. And during that time, problems can go largely unnoticed, especially if the person lives far from family. Because when we talk to mom on the phone, she seems, in Ohio, she seems perfectly fine. What we don't know is she's talking to you from the bathroom because she can't remember where the living room was. So she grabbed the phone and went to the first place she could to talk to you, or whatever it is. I'm going to read it again. Alzheimer's symptoms can start 2 years before an official diagnosis, and during that time, problems go largely unnoticed, especially if the person lives far from family. I'm reading, children and spouses have little choice but to pay bills and clean out homes, but they often feel compelled to finish something that seems incidental but was particularly meaningful to a parent or loved one. Do you understand what I just read? And the rest of it talks about this process. Now 84, this lady who started the book but couldn't finish it, can no longer talk, walk, feed, or dress herself, but she recognizes her daughter. She doesn't recognize her as her daughter, she just recognizes her as somebody she recognizes. Then I'm going to read you one more thing. She often places the book in her mother's hands and points to the photos describing who is in each one. It was the hardest thing I have ever done, but the most important, she says. If you have not, again, this is from a Wall Street Journal article from September the 7th, page D as in dog 3. Read it. 1 in 9 people 65 or over has Alzheimer's. 1 in 9. And that's just Alzheimer's. And it often goes unnoticed. And it's because when children talk to mom and dad or a spouse, spouses hide it from, parents hide it from their children, and children don't want to know. Well, Bob, it's too uncomfortable to contemplate. You know, I couldn't deal with it. I can't deal with it. I can't. Do you get my point? I don't want to notice because the thought is too painful. One of the hardest things I have to do is to get children to begin to understand that they are now the responsible adults. One of the hardest things I ever do is getting children to deal with the 900-pound gorilla in the room, which is guilt, which we all feel. I felt it when I put my dad in a nursing home. You can't make it not, you can't make it go away. You can't pretend it doesn't happen. And I am sick to death of listening to other people out there who are going to tell you that they have the answer. If you just buy this product or do this thing, you have the answer. There is no the answer. This family's answer was completely different than the next family's answer. And the gentleman that walked into my office yesterday that we were talking to, and the daughter that I just had to, I'm dealing with right now, who's going through absolute hell because her mother is in a nursing home and she has a hostile sister and there's confusion at every point. And the hostile sister is stampeding it at every point because guess what she's interested in? The money. Oh, Bob, I'm shocked. You mean children? Yes. Yes. It happens all the time. You have a child that hasn't been involved in mom and dad's life for 10 years, but when they smell money, all of a sudden, they're on the scene. Yes, it happens all the time. And it happens all the time in blended families, where you got his kids and her kids, and he goes to a nursing home, and her kids don't like that she's spending her money taking care of him. And his kids don't understand why she's not spending some of her money to take care of him, and why are they spending all of their children's money to, you get my point. Bob, that would never happen. It happens every day. Talk to any elder law attorney, and he will roll his eyes at the stories, at the situations that have walked in front of his life. I know, because I know a lot of them, and I hear the stories. And the stories are real. They're real in your family. You know, I can sit here and talk about Medi-Cal rules, and I can sit here and talk about recovery, and I can sit here and talk about documents, and I can sit here and talk about financial products, and I can sit here and talk about all the stuff you can do to protect everything you have, but it's all meaningless if the family is not pulling in the same harness. You know, one of the things when you, I don't know why, it's something, one of these things I studied a long time ago because I found it interesting, about how they train horses and why, you know, you see the Budweiser wagon, right? And it's going on, you see it in commercials and the Budweiser Clydesdales. And do you know how long it takes them to figure out which horse goes where? What are there, 4 horses or 6 horses, however many horses there are in the Budweiser wagon? Different horses do better in different places in the team. They have to figure out who's going to be the lead horse and who's going to be the right-handed lead horse and the left-handed and which horses are going to be behind, because some horses don't like being behind another horse and other horses. Do you know how much time they spend figuring out the horses? You think I'm making it up? Go study a little bit. It's just one of those esoteric things that once caught my interest about how they figure out what horses work in wagons and all that kind of stuff and how they train them and all that. You know, there's kind of like left-footed and right-footed animals. They have different sides that they favor and all that. And they spend years trying to figure out which horses belong where. How much time have you spent in your family figuring out how you're going to deal with this? As a spouse, how much time, if you recognize this in your own spouse, how much time have you spent trying to figure this out? If you're children, are you really willing to notice what's going on in your mom and dad's life? Well, Bob, I don't like getting involved because, you know, my dad doesn't like it when I get tough luck. Well, Bob, you're being very abrasive. Yes, I am. Because I learned a long time ago that beating around the edges of, you know, lots of people floating around just want to talk about lollipops and flowers. My world is not made up of lollipop and flowers. It's made up of very messy situations. Physically, you, children, you can't imagine what you may get involved in at the end of your mom and dad's life, physically and hygiene-wise, that you never thought you were going to have to do ever. You never, it never ever crossed your mind. Some of you listening to me right now and some of my clients listening to me right now know exactly what I'm talking about. You've never had anybody turn a bowl of hot soup upside down on their head. I've had a client do that. The things that are going to happen may be things you can't imagine, but you have to talk about them. One in nine people over 65 have Alzheimer's. And that's, and remember, that's not the only thing that causes frailty. Half the people in nursing homes are there for physical frailty. They've had a stroke. They can't walk anymore. They have Parkinson's. They have MS. They have whatever. As we get older and gravity wins and parts begin to fail, you know, all parts fail. Parts on an engine fail, parts in our body are going to fail. They're going to get older. And because we've extended life, death, which used to interfere with the aging process, allows, because we now can extend the date of death, allows our organs to become more deteriorated than they used to. But age always deteriorates organs. It deteriorates skin. It deteriorates muscle. It deteriorates balance. It deteriorates all of those things. So children, are you willing to be honest about what's going on with your mom and dad? Or your grammy or your grampy or your aunt or uncle or whoever it is? I have someone in a nursing home right now who has no children. Never had any children, never been married. Nearest relatives are not children. They're family members, but they're not children. They had no idea what was going on with this person until something happened that wound up putting them in a nursing home, and then they were shocked. And yet they secretly kind of suspected it was happening, but they really didn't want to go over and intervene. They really didn't want to go over to the house and intervene because they were afraid of taking away that person's privacy and independence. And as a result now, that person will never go home again. You have to be willing to intervene if it's the person you love. Those of you that are married, how many of you have ever done something stupid with your spouse? You know, when my wife and I were first married, and I learned this, this year we will have been married 50 years. Sometimes it amazes me that I found somebody that put up with me for 50 years, but it's amazing. But when we first got married, I remember giving my wife something, like a toaster for Christmas or birthday or something. I don't remember what it was anymore. But my wife looked at me and said, "Don't ever give me anything with a cord again for a present. That's an appliance. It's not a present." And since then, it has never happened again. With one exception, when she asked me to buy her a cordless drill. But she asked me, so I did that. My point is, we learn things from each other, and we observe things in each other, and we tend to pay attention to them, and we notice them. But when it comes to frailty and dementia, we sometimes refuse to notice. Children refuse to notice that dad, you know, sometimes tells the same story 27 times in an hour. Well, that's just dad. You know, I'm guilty of it. I like stories. I like to talk. You figured that out already. And sometimes I'll tell the same, and my friends will look at me, or my wife will look at me. You know, we've heard that story 23 times. Oh, I'm sorry. No. But when somebody is telling you a story and 10 minutes later tells you the same story, and they don't remember that they told you 10 minutes ago, you have to look at that and go, something is happening here. Especially if you don't live close to your parents. You have to listen to what they're telling you on the phone or Skype. By the way, whatever you have to do, teach your parents how to use Skype so that when you call them, you can observe them. You can, as they walk around the house, you can, Skype is easy, it's free. Children, you need to teach your parents how to use their smartphone or their iPad or whatever they're using, or their computer, and you need to teach them how to use Skype so that when you call them on Skype, you can see them and you can observe them and you can see how they're acting. Skype is a godsend. When it's used, you know, just for other than chit-chat, you can observe a lot in your parents or in your grandparents by teaching them to use Skype. And anybody that has a smartphone can use Skype. If you can use a smartphone, you can teach your parents or grandparents to answer the Skype call by pushing the Skype symbol on the phone. And they can see you and you can see them. And every smartphone comes with a camera. You know, do it. Grandchildren, do it with your grandparents. But you have to become involved in their life, and you have to become willing to notice things and do things and all of that kind of stuff. You have to go once in a while, children, go drive to the store and let your mom or dad drive and see how it's going. Did they get lost on the way to the grocery store? Do they take the wrong route and then go, oh, I forgot where I was going? We all have done that once out of habit. You know, like sometimes when we're going somewhere, I'll turn somewhere as if I'm going to the office, because that's normally what I do, and I'll go, oh, I'm going to the office. But I recognize that because it's out of habit. But if all of a sudden they're not sure what they're doing, are you noticing stuff? Are you paying attention? Spouses, are you paying attention? Is somebody willing to get involved and say, we have to deal with this? We have to deal with this. You have a choice. You can let it go until it's a crisis because you don't want to be involved and parents don't want to be a burden on their children. Well, being a burden on your children is leaving them with this mess without the tools to deal with it because you didn't want to be a burden. You have to include your children. If you have children in your family that are hostile to you, you need to deal with that now, not after the fact, because I will guarantee you they will rise up out of the dust when you're gone to create havoc in your family. We're all going to get older. We're all going to become more frail. We're all going to become, not all of us, but most of us are going to become more forgetful. All of us know somebody who's 90 years old and still sharp as a tack. But we also know people who are 75 and can't remember what they had for breakfast. By the way, I didn't have any breakfast. I just had coffee this morning, so I remember. I'm safe. two cups, I remember. 800-999-8007. Get the tools that you're going to need to begin to make sure you're in control, you being the children or the spouse or the grandchildren or whoever it is, as that loved one of yours begins to fail and can no longer control or manage their own life. Get to one of my workshops. They're the best thing you'll ever go to. 800-999-8007. Find out about VA benefits. Make sure you understand government benefits. Make sure you understand Medi-Cal. Make sure you understand lookbacks and recoveries and spend downs. That's all great. But you have to start by getting involved and sitting down as a family or as a couple at least and beginning, or if you're single and you have nobody, even more important for you. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging, assetsandaging.com. Look up my radio shows, listen to them, listen to the podcasts, sign up for the workshop, sign up for an appointment, but get involved. Read the articles I give you. Go to the website, listen to the shows, read the information, and then make a decision, a positive decision, to get involved and make sure this doesn't overcome you and you're unprepared. 800-999-8007. Get involved, get in touch, we'll set up a time, we'll sit down and talk. For Bob Scrivano, your host and Assets in Aging, thank you so much for joining me. We'll be here every week. Go to my website, give me a call, get involved in your family's life. Have a wonderful day and a blessed week. See you next week.